Fierce Femme Media.
That's hi, Piper.
She's Piper. The best girl.
I love how she's just licking your face.
My God, when I took them to the vet yesterday, I like saw their doctor like in the back and she waved or whatever. And then she comes out a couple minutes later and she's like, so Scout, and she like has her phone and I'm like, oh my God, what happened? She's like, she decided she was gonna wait for her shots on top of Piper because Piper had to get a shot too. She shows me this picture and Piper's standing there and Scout is standing with both paws just draped over Piper's back like she's hanging on a bar or something. Like, guys, like just hanging out. I was like, oh my God, they're so embarrassing.
Bella's like always like barking orders at Thor like, bah, 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 bah. But then I caught her yesterday with her head on him asleep. And I was like, oh, you shady bitch. Like you actually dig him.
So this one yesterday too. She's trying to cuddle with me and Scout won't leave her alone. She's coming over. Finally, Piper like jumps off the bed and goes and picks up a bone. And I'm like, oh, she's over it. She's going to chew on this bone. She drops the bone in front of Scout, waits for Scout to start chewing on it, and then comes and lays down and
cuddles. Oh my God. That's so cute.
It was super cute, but also like real manipulative.
Real manipulative.
Here, dummy, take this.
Okay. Good evening, everybody. And welcome to the weekly wind down. I am Jackie D, the literary lesbian.
I'm Stacy, the political princess.
It's been a while.
I know, and it's hard when Stacy's not here. I don't know, what am I? I'm the puppy mom.
And I'm Erin, the geeky gal pal.
Stacy, welcome back.
Thanks. Good to be back.
We were temporarily separated. We went on a break. No, I'm just kidding. She had other things to do.
Ooh. I'm just kidding. I didn't.
I mean, better? I don't know.
I had other, no. I'll be honest. You know what? This is a safe space. I feel confident. I wasn't on last week because you know what? I had therapy right before we recorded. I just wasn't feeling good afterwards. Like I was feeling good, but sometimes therapy can just be like
emotionally draining.
Yeah.
I feel you.
Look, mental health, I don't mind talking about it. But I also think therapy's great, and I felt better/drained and awful afterwards.
I think therapy is super important. Like, even if you don't think you need therapy, you need therapy. Just for, right. Like, you don't, like, need therapy, but it's nice, like, to talk to someone that... Yeah, you can talk to someone that doesn't have any ulterior motives, doesn't have any buy-in to your actual personal life. Mm-hmm. They give you a completely separate opinion void of any investment, which
right,
I mean, even people with the best of intentions, it's hard for them to do that because their views are slighted versus if they care about you or if they, you know, their own personal experiences. Like, therapy's good. People should have therapy.
No, it's great. It was funny though too. Oh, go ahead.
No, you can go.
Oh no, I was just gonna say it was funny because at one point I started crying. And it was like not something that normally would make me cry. And she's like, what's going on here? What's coming up? And I was like, I'm just so tired. Like with the puppy and all this other stuff going on and work being so crazy. It's like, all right, finally like finish work at 11 o'clock at night. And then I go to lay down. And then by 2, somebody needs to go to the bathroom. And then somebody else needs to go. And then I wake up in the morning. I got to get something else started. Somebody's peed on the floor, on the bed. Like I'm constantly washing. Like, she's getting better. She's slept through the night 3 nights in a row, little Scout, which is like, but like, and her potty training is going okay. But every once in a while, she'll still like, she'll start to pee on the floor. She'll start to pee on a blanket and I'll stop her and she'll stop. And then she'll run outside and like, she gets that, but I still got to wash the thing.
Yeah.
You know, she's still got pee on it. So I'm like, I'm running out of clothes because the only laundry I do is like dog beds and blankets and rugs. And I'm like, oh my God.
Well, there's also like different types of being exhausted too. Like I get decision fatigue sometimes because I make so many decisions at work and because I have to answer so many questions and so many different people. And like, we have a toddler and like, I get to the point sometimes where I'm like, I can't make another decision. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't care what we eat for dinner. I don't, if you want, like Lex keeps going, she wants to take Lincoln cherry or strawberry picking. And I'm like, I don't, fine, whatever. Like, I don't care. And she's like, you don't care. And I'm like, no, it's not that I don't care. I don't care to make a decision about it. Like,
right.
If that's something like you'll do about, it
or yeah. you won't do it. You don't really have an opinion.
I don't want to make a decision because I get so decision fatigued because of work. And
yeah. Well, and I don't know about you guys, but like in talking to my therapist and stuff, like she was saying there's so many people right now that like mostly like we're used to dealing with like acute stress. Like here's this one thing and it's happening right now and it's whatever. And instead it's like this overwhelming blanket of stress of like, oh, it's 90 things at any given time that are stressful mm-hmm. and like all the time. And so you don't get like, there's no release from it. I was like, bro.
Yeah. It's interesting because it comes off sometimes like you don't care about something or you're not invested. And it's not that you just expend so much emotional energy on other things that like when Lex asked me stuff like that, I just want to spend time with them. So I don't really
don't care what matter you do.
To me what it is. Yeah. Okay. If you want to go do this, right. cool, we'll go do it. Like I'm emotionally invested. I don't want to, but is that fair to her? Because she makes a lot. I mean, I don't know. Is that putting all the emotional labor on my wife to make those types of decisions? I don't know. Maybe it is.
Oh, well, I'm always like that with Gail. I'm like, I don't want to make the decision. Please make it. But she doesn't want to make the decision either. So then I'm like, I don't care.
I don't know. Where do you want to go? I don't know. Where do you?
She's like, we'll say, let's like lately what I've been doing is I've literally just been making a plan. Like I just, we're going to go to dinner on this date at this time and the reservation's already made. So it's like, there's no decision making beyond that that needs to happen. We're doing it. Like all you got to do is get the time off work at this point. Like, cause I just get so sick of that back and forth where you're like, I don't want to make the decision, but I'm going to end up making it because she doesn't want to make it either, but I don't want to just sit here not go to dinner.
Right. I've never thought about it before, but I think I get a little decision fatigue sometimes.
Yeah.
I never realized what it was until I finally was just like, it's not that I don't want to hang out with you. I just don't want to make the decisions for it. Like, tell me where to go and what time to be there and I'll show up. I want to see you. Right. I don't want to plan it.
Right.
I get like tired of being on all the time. Mm-hmm. Too, when you have a pretty public facing job, I think there definitely is a like, oh my God. So sometimes the idea, like, and I think that's just how anxiety works and depression is sometimes like the smallest task can seem so impossible. Right. And so when someone's like, oh, do you want to hang out? Like, yeah, I want to hang out. But also like the process of like on some days, getting up, getting ready, getting in the car, leaving the house, as easy as that seems, it can seem like the hardest task in the world.
Absolutely.
And that's hard. Like some days I'm like, I just don't want to do anything. Right. I mean, I do it anyways, but you know what I mean? Like every once in a while, you got to give yourself a little grace. You got to be a little, we're way harder on ourselves than we are on anybody else. So I think sometimes you just got to give yourself the like, you know what? I'm not feeling it.
Right. It's well, that whole thing too. Like when you like make a plan for something, like for, a week from now, let's go get drinks. And then it comes and you're like, I really wish I wouldn't have made this plan. Cause like the last thing I want to fucking do is go. I just don't want to do it. Like, it's not because I don't want to see the people. It's just, I'm just done. Mm-hmm. I'm done with the week. I'm done.
Well, and that's the thing too. I think when people are so stressed and they're so overworked and stuff too, like, sometimes like, I just don't have any fuel left in the tank. By the end of the day.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And with the fuel shortage.
I know. Look, I got big gulp full of gas in the garage. Is that a bad idea?
So
no, not at all.
I'm drinking an IPA tonight called Outdoor Skate. Got it from Trader Joe's. It's from Pizza Port Brewing, which if you haven't tried, if you like beer and you haven't tried Pizza Port Brewing, it's really, really good. There's only one that I have tried so far of theirs that I have not enjoyed. And to be honest, I couldn't tell you the name of it right now. It comes in a silver can and it's like old English writing. And it wasn't that it was terrible. It was just that it
I remember you drank it on the podcast. Yeah.
But the Outdoor Escape is really good. Their vacation one is very good. I was just in the mood for beer tonight, so I am drinking IPA. And Outdoor Escape, Pizza Port Brewing.
All right. I am drinking one of my favorite brands of canned beverages, the House Wine, which is like one of my favorite brands. I really love their bubbles. They have a super cute one that comes in like a pride can that I love, that's in my fridge, like ready and waiting. But they have a few like wine cocktails now. So first of all, was I a sucker for the can?
Always.
Oh, one, yeah, thousand, sure.
I would have fallen for that too.
1,000%, right?
Fallen for that too. Yeah.
So I got a couple of them. This one is the Cranberry Cosmo, and it's a wine cocktail, 9% alcohol, which is decent for. I got a margarita one that somehow is a wine margarita. I don't know how that works. But that one's like 12%. So. It's delightful. I don't love Cosmos that much or cranberry, but like the can was so cute. It's pretty good. I'm not mad at it. I know. The house wine literally always comes through. And gluten-free.
Oh. Erin, what kind of vodka are you drinking tonight?
I'm not drinking vodka.
Oh, damn.
What?
I know. I like to throw a curveball every now.
Somebody has egg on her face.
Is it me?
No, it's me.
I know. So I'm actually drinking a Vizzy tonight on multiple Vizzies. I talked about it, I think, right before Jean was coming in. When she came here to visit, I had them. They're really good.
I thought you meant she came to the podcast to make it.
Right? No.
When she came to you. Yeah.
When she came to Florida. Yeah. Like, it's really good. It's, it has, I know this is stupid, but it has antioxidants and vitamin C in it. So I'm like, all right, bonus.
Things we say now.
I know, right?
So, yeah. Where do you get your vitamins and antioxidants from?
Fizzy. From my Fizzy. Ding.
Genius.
So yeah, it's actually really good. I'm drinking the watermelon strawberry one right now. I'm just such a sucker for anything watermelon. And oh my God. So it's really good. P.S. But this was like mind blowing for me. So I don't know if you guys remember, but I love the White Claw watermelon. It's my absolute favorite. I love it. It is finally available in a 12 pack.
Big day in the Zach house.
Oh my God. And it was like, praise Jesus. Like I was very, very, very happy about it. And I know like but like, I always drink something like vodka soda. So it's like, I'm so used to not having anything sweet in anything I drink that like, it's just really, it's light, it's refreshing. It's great for the pool. It's just, it's lovely. So
nice.
But I will say
so the happy reason, for you and your 12 right, pack.
Thank you. My 12 pack of White Claw, like a fucking loon. I love the Vizzies but I wasn't going to drink that tonight. I was actually going to do vodka, but we're going to Disney tomorrow.
Ooh. Okay.
I'm gonna be hungover.
All right. I'm going to text you.
Okay.
Keep your eyes out. There's a Spirit jersey and Crocs that I really need.
Okay.
So,
oh my God, I never thought I'd hear you say any Crocs in any sentence.
Listen,
like, I didn't think you knew how to put those words
let me
together.
Just, hold on. Let me, I'd like to address this publicly.
I feel like you need to because
I don't want anyone. Okay. Look, when it started, the pandemic's been hard for everybody. I used to think of myself as kind of a I think I'm a nice dresser. I usually have nice shoes on and then the pandemic happened and I was like, I don't leave the house. So comfort, not everybody knows I have a history of like foot issues and foot surgeries. And so, I started to value comfort over fashion around
over
the living
style.
Room. Yeah. And so what had happened was
we went
to Downtown Disney and I spotted for the first time what I like to refer to as my gateway Crocs. Which were these Disney Christmas fur-lined Crocs with a light-up Mickey Mouse on the side. And I was like, oh my God. You know when you see something, you're like, that's so hideous that I love it. I have to have it.
100%.
So I was like, oh my God, I need these. Well, then I started wearing those every day. And so then by like February, I was like, maybe I shouldn't wear the Christmas Crocs anymore. I mean, like, who cares? Nobody sees me. So then I got a pair of black fur lined Crocs and I was like, oh yeah, these are like, just
this is a journey that I don't know I want to be on. Like this.
So then I keep getting ads for a pair of Crocs. A pair of Crocs that have a little zipper pouch on the top from DSW. And now I kind of want those.
Like kangaroos. Remember those shoes?
Yeah, kind of. And so I'm like, oh, do I need these Crocs with the zipper pouch? And then they came out with-
What do you put in it?
Condom. A key. That's pretty much all that would fit in there, I think.
A key and a condom.
Advil. A key. Birth control.
That was an interesting journey.
Quarter for a phone call. So all now there's a new
about not getting pregnant.
Well, certainly with those Crocs on, I wouldn't have to worry.
Yeah, I was just gonna say those are abstinence
with
Crocs.
With the fanny pack Crocs on, yeah, yeah. And so now Disney has a black and leopard print spirit jersey with matching Crocs, and I'm like, oh my god, what? I need that.
Do we need to go to Animal Kingdom for it? You think?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know, maybe. But anyways, listen, I started out hating Crocs. I would laugh at people that wore them, but now I get it. I get it. They make little mini Crocs for dogs. I've thought about buying those. I'm full on board. I got Emily to buy a pair. She's into Crocs now. She's got a pair of tie-dye ones. I'm just saying.
Here's my problem with Crocs.
Big fan.
Okay. Here's my problem. I've worn them before and they are very comfortable. And my feet don't typically sweat, but my feet sweat so bad in Crocs. And I don't understand it.
Do you wear socks?
I mean, not typically. Am I supposed to?
Yeah.
In the summer?
Well, I don't know. Like, all my Crocs are fur lined. I don't know.
You're like so bougie, even with your Crocs. I love it.
I'm a different person now. The bar for how I've allowed myself to be seen in public during this thing is like low. it is low, but I'm proud to say that I like Crocs.
Are you proud to say it, or is it just
I'm officially coming out as pro Crocs.
Wow.
Yeah.
LGBT Croc.
LBGTC.
Legitimate.
So,
yeah.
Katie wears Crocs now too. And
they're
the one day. The one day she was like, wait a second, I got to put them into four-wheel drive. And
yeah,
she was,
four mode.
I was like, are you fucking kidding me right now? Get out of my house. You're sport kicked mode. Out. Kicked out.
Yeah. Hey, Lincoln wears Crocs.
He does because he can put them on himself. That's...
Yeah, me too. We got something in common.
He also wears Velcro sneakers, so in Vans.
Oh,
Vans. That's like that's Lincoln cool. is. He's interesting with his shoes. He's very particular. He like has a real. I will not wear those, and I will wear these today. And he's not going to hear anything else about it. Like this kid has more
the
shoes.
Final
than
word
I do.
Has been spoken.
Yeah, he has more shoes than I do. He takes. Every day
Lex
is an
started
adventure.
That. I blame Lex on that because she started with all the little freshly picked moccasins. Got him real.
I will say
fitted with his shoes.
His feet stink though because he doesn't wear socks with most of his shoes. And his
have you had an intervention with him? Have you told him his feet?
I told him this morning when I was putting his shoes on. I was like, "You need to put socks on. Your feet stink." So he was like, "Okay." So he put socks on, and then he was like, "No, too tight. Take them off." So he went to school with, I mean, he's got his checkered Vans, his black Vans. Like he's a cool kid,
but he's going to be the smelly
like
kid.
Someone's asshole. Yeah. It's sweaty toddler skin, which, it's not.
That's going to be a no for me, dog.
Anywho.
No, thanks.
We're going to talk real quick about Liz Cheney being essentially ousted from the GOP. And I want to talk about this one because we were reminded again that people get their news from us, which again, you shouldn't do that. We're very one-sided. I don't know if you've realized that. We're not. Anyway, Liz Cheney has, and I want to preface this by saying, I don't like Liz Cheney.
Right.
I'm not like a fan of hers. Yeah. We don't agree politically on
anything.
But she refused to say essentially that the election was stolen from Donald Trump. And so the GOP has pretty much removed her from, well, has removed her, not pretty much, from her leadership position within the Republican Party. And I watched her do her press conference immediately after and asking her if she would, you know, change anything or whatever. And I don't mind saying I was impressed with her integrity of saying, no, I have no regrets. This is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. The election wasn't stolen. This is what happened. And we have more issues in the Republican Party because we're veering from the truth than we do with anything else. So I'm a big enough person to say, I don't agree with Liz Cheney's politics, but I think she did the right thing in this instance by standing up for truth in the same way Mitt Romney stood up for, not stood up for Biden, but stood up for the integrity of the election. And he was booed in his home state, which is mind-boggling. Like, you're talking about an individual who was the Republican choice for president in 2012, and he was booed for several minutes on stage simply because he wouldn't say that the election was stolen. And Liz Cheney, who has a political dynasty in her family, is now being kicked out of the party because she won't say that the election was stolen from Trump. All while they're letting Matt Gaetz, who was involved in
gross
child porn, stay. Like, it's just, what happened to the hashtag save the children when they were all on this kick about?
No,
it's,
they only just wanted to save,
so
them
mind-boggling to
Wayfair
me.
And
it's absolutely mind-boggling. And I will say this also to the Republicans that are now saying that the person that Matt Gaetz was allegedly involved with now does porn, fuck off. Fuck off.
It doesn't matter.
She was,
it
still 17.
What she does now.
It does. It doesn't matter. And how do you know that that was an intricate part of why she's now in porn? The fact that older men were manipulating her and paying for her body. And like, I'm not even, there's nothing wrong with porn. If you consensually sign up to be in porn, you do you. I don't have any, I don't have any animosity towards women who involve themselves with that, with their own consent, that aren't being coerced or drugged or whatever. Like, if that's what you want to do, fucking you do you. But
more,
it's just
power to you.
The way they bend the logistics and the scope of it to try and turn this like kaleidoscope of reality is just, it's absolutely fucking mind-boggling to me. So I feel bad for Liz Cheney. Well, I don't, because she's stuck with a party that has been throwing people under the bus left and right, all in the name of Trump. So I don't really feel bad for her. And her dad is 100% like a war criminal. But it would have been really
somebody in the face.
It would have been easy for her to turn and say, fine, whatever. Yes, the election was stolen. But she stood on principle, and I can admire that in someone.
Yeah.
I agree. Honestly, with everything you've said. It's funny because, like, you know, when you listen to any sort of media talk about it, except maybe Fox News, talk about Liz Cheney, she is so much more conservative than this Stefanik
woman. Than the
woman.
Person they brought in.
Like, I'm like, and it literally all just comes down to the fact that who wants to be behind Trump and who doesn't. And that's, to me, it's just so not Republican anymore. Like, in my mind, Liz Cheney is a Republican, and everybody that's against her is not. I just find it so interesting that it's so not Democratic. You know what I mean? It's the democracy is gone from Trumplicans' minds. You know, it doesn't. It's lies and deceit and falsehoods up and down the block. And it's just, it's sad. And it's really, as much as I didn't like Liz Cheney, I felt really fucking bad that she stood up for what she believes in, which was the fucking truth and is the truth. And she still is ousted because of it. Like, it just goes to show you that, like, sometimes you can be on the wrong side of the truth. You know what I mean? And I think
what you're also seeing here, and I think people 50 years from now, 60 years from now, maybe even 20 years from now, This is going to be the time period where they're going to look back and history and government teachers are going to teach about it, about the split of the Republican Party. And I think more people should be paying attention, because you're looking at traditional conservatism splitting off into Trumpism. And so we are seeing an actual third party come out of this, which, as a Democrat, it's real easy to point and laugh and say, fuck you guys, you deserve it, because it's going to hurt them in the short term, right? Like, splitting the Republican Party is going to hurt them in the short terms, because they're going to split their votes and things are going to go sideways. But the Democrats need to get their shit together, because if they are successful in forming a true conservative party, you're going to see Trumpism be slowly abandoned, and people are going to go back to their roots of conservatism. And all they're going to be left with is, you know, white supremacists and homophobes and xenophobes and all of the phobes. And that new formed conservative party is going to be stronger than ever. So I know a lot of Democrats are celebrating this now, but if they don't start focusing on clear, concise messaging, what the Democratic Party actually stands for, and how they actually want to help people. And the Democrats need to get better about showing up in some of these deep red states, not because they can gain votes from them, because you're not going to turn some of them, but you're never going to convince anyone otherwise if you're not having face-to-face conversations and talking to them about things that they care about. Sure. And I think that's one of the huge steps that the DCCC is missing right now, and the DNC, is they're not making face-to-face contact. And they show up 6 months before an election and want all the buy-in from minorities and marginalized groups and all these things.
And people realize that.
Right.
Yeah, and they don't like it.
Right. So if you're seeing an actual grassroots organization come from this, they're going to be much more willing to talk to people and listen to them and convince them that they're on their side, even when their best interests aren't at the core of it. So I think it's all fun. And I watch the social media, all of them making fun of all of this happening, but don't throw stones when you live in a glass house. Like, the Democrats have plenty of work to do. They skip over plenty of people. They make a ton of promises to marginalized communities and then don't follow through on anything. And I think now would be a real good time to start paying attention to that before you lose your base.
Right.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's, you know, again, I don't like Liz Cheney. I don't agree with anything that she thinks, believes, stands for, anything. Her voting record, nothing is I'm a fan of. But yeah, I think it just goes to show that, like, the core of the Republican Party cares more about bowing to Trump than they care about their morals or values, because, like you mentioned, they just elected a new chair who is kind of a centrist. She's not really even a conservative, and so, but then she's up there, you know, going with the big lie, and we're gonna, you know, it was, you know, Trump is the leader that they wanted, and that's who they chose. And it's just, it's disgusting. And so I think there is going to be a big fracture in the Republican Party. And I think there will be a new party formed that is Republicans who don't like Trump. And the problem is, all of the power and all of the money still sits with all of the Trump Republicans. And so that's where I think it's going to get really interesting. But again, don't like her, not a fan. But good for Liz Cheney for sticking to her, you know, sticking to her guns, so to speak.
It's the whole thing about how you can dislike whatever, anything, like the whole, all of what a person stands for, but still respect their morals. Sure. Like, at the end of the day, like, I respect that she...
I respect her conviction.
Right, conviction, not her morals, because I probably don't agree with any of them, but it's so crazy. It's just nuts.
When you take a look at what's going on in Arizona right now too, and for those that aren't familiar, Arizona, the Republicans, the state Republicans are calling for recalls still of the presidential election.
It's crazy what they're looking for.
Yeah. And they're bringing in so they already did two independent studies, which found that there was no issues with the vote that took place there. So now they're bringing, and by the way, whatever, give Arizona to the red. Biden still wins. Like, it doesn't, right. doesn't fucking
right.
matter.
Right. Right. Why are you doing this?
But they're bringing in an organization called Cyber Ninjas. No, I'm serious.
I know, but
it gets so funny. Much crazier when you get into what they're looking for.
So they're going to go through and they're trying to validate the actual signatures of the people who voted. And one of the issues, well, let's back up. The CEO of Cyber Ninja is a staunch reporter of Donald Trump. So right there, we already have a conflict of interest with who's doing this third party audit of the voting process in Mariposa County. They're focusing on Mariposa County because that's where Phoenix is, and it went predominantly blue, which shifted the entirety of the electorate. So they're going door to door and asking people to verify who they voted for.
No,
which is
that's
bonkers.
Not the crazy part I'm talking about.
Okay, what crazy part are you talking about? Because that to me, I was like, you can fuck all the way off.
Well, buckle up. Because they are looking for traces of bamboo fiber
in the ballots
to see if they were from China.
So, yeah. So they're actually, they're testing the ballots that were mailed in to check and see if there's
40,000 of them were smuggled from China.
Right. So they're
so naturally they would have bamboo.
Because everyone there is a panda.
Right. Right.
Get out of here.
Could they have picked anything more racist? Is it rice paper too? Like, come on.
It's like the worst.
What the fuck? I fucking hate.
Just the audacity to get, like, what are you honestly, and how can you, if you came to my door and were like, hey, I need to verify your voting records, I'd be like, first of all, fuck off. That,
right.
Fuck off.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And if they held it up and said, did you actually vote for Biden? Oh, secondly, fuck off. And then when you get there, you can fuck off again.
One more time.
And then, like, when you get to the next fuck off, you can just go ahead and do that again until you've come full circle and you're fucking yourself in the ass because I'm not answering any of your fucking questions. Like, who do these people think they are? The audacity, the absolute gall to go door to door and ask people to verify their votes is just astonishing to me. Yeah, and the fact that the GOP is paying them to do it, like, it's already been evaluated and audited twice, and they're still bringing people in, and they're trying to silence the laws that they're trying to pass for voter suppression are just like,
they're like criminal.
Oh my God, yeah, they're talking ridiculous. About issuing felony charges for simple misnomers in electoral ballots casted that would have normally, a person from the elector's office would have called you and been like, hey, you signed your date wrong or whatever. And you'd be like, oh, my bad, I won't do that again. Like, what's format should it be in? Well, you should have used this bubble or whatever. That they're talking about making that a felony now.
That's bullshit.
Or that's like saying like, oh, you signed it Jackie instead of Jacqueline.
Like the shit that they're talking about making a felony charge to dissuade people from voting is just it's mind-boggling.
Yeah, 100%.
The blatant voter suppression tactics are gross. I did want to talk about real quick, and then we're just going to talk about TV and whatever. The American Families package that Biden has been pushing. It's not getting a tremendous amount of publicity right now, and I don't know why. 70% of people polled, Republicans, Democrats, whoever, agree with this package. You're talking about taxes for childcare or tax benefits for childcare, making sure that every childcare worker is automatically paid a living wage. And then you cannot pay more than 8% of your income. If you make under a certain amount, no more than 8% of your income should go towards childcare and the government will subsidize the rest. They're talking about making sure that kids under a certain poverty line across the country have food available to them all of the time. They're talking about making sure that no more than 7% of your income goes to paying medical expenses through the ACA. Like, they're talking about things that are such common sense, including free junior college for everyone that wants to enroll in it. Like, junior college for some people is all that they need, especially if you're going to a tech school. Like, not everyone needs to go to a four-year university. Mm-hmm. And making those types of things fair and affordable and accessible to people is such a fucking no-brainer to me. I can't believe it only has a 70% approval rating and not like a 90, but I think some people are just like, oh, it came from the Democrats, fuck them, we're not doing it. But even 70% in such a polarized environment is a huge margin.
Oh, agreed,
for sure.
And there's not a lot I can do here in California. I have two Democratic senators that already support the American Families Act. Mm-hmm. If you live in a state, and I know we have listeners in Pennsylvania, Texas, Florida, like Indiana, like
you know,
I
where see we don't have them,
the Dakotas.
Dakotas.
No, we have one in South Dakota.
Yeah, we use South Dakota as the better of the two.
Oh, Wyoming. Maybe they'll start listening now that they know we don't hate Liz Cheney.
But listen, if you have any Republican senator in your house, it doesn't matter. Talk to your Republican or family, friends, whatever. Put the party jerseys aside. The America First Families Act or the American Families First Act is game changing. You're talking
about
people.
Everyone.
It's good for everyone from the time you're born until the time you go to college. Mm-hmm. Like I don't know who wouldn't support that, and we should 100% be asking for support for it. And you know what? I would be on here saying that if the Republicans had proposed it.
Yep.
I would be telling my Democratic senators to support this because of who it benefits. It hurts me. And I'm not being flippant about that. I'm not being hyperbolic to think that children, my son's age, are already set back 500 paces from him simply because their parents don't make the same money I make or my wife makes. That is heartbreaking to me. The fact that they can't go to preschool because their parents aren't in the right tax bracket.
Yeah.
That's cool. Fucking wrong on so many levels. If you actually believe in capitalism, if you actually believe in the American dream, if you actually believe that every child deserves a fair shot, you should support this bill and you should demand that your representative support it also, because it should not matter where they grew up, where they're from, or who their parents are to have a fair fighting chance to make something of themselves.
So I have a question for you. Why do people not want to support it? Is it just
it's $1.3 trillion over the course of 10 years. And how Biden has proposed paying for it is taxing the 1% of the 1%.
Okay. All right.
And he's not even talking about anything extreme. His approach to it is actually super moderate, but no one wants to hear that right now. It's setting the tax brackets back to what they were before Trump gave them all the tax. And I shouldn't even say Trump. I mean, the House of Representatives and the Senate was super involved.
Right.
Credit where credit's due. Trump approved it, but it wasn't his. He didn't come up with it. Everyone fucking knows that. He can barely tie his shoes. So like he signed off on it, but it wasn't his brainchild. So he's talking about putting those tax brackets back to where they were. And then increasing the tax bracket by 3% for people who make over $500,000 a year or $475,000 a year.
Right,
so for every dollar, he's not even talking about changing the tax brackets up to that point. It's after every dollar you make over, and it's like $475 for single people and like $750 for married couples. Every dollar you make over that will be charged at like an additional tax percentage. And that's what we'll pay for this program.
Which seems like really worth it. Like that.
It's super popular.
Yeah.
It's super fucking popular. And I urge people, if you don't know how to talk about it, or if you want to take the media out of it and you want to take CNN out of it or MSNBC or Fox News out of it, tell people to go to the White House page and look at this proposition. Like look at the facts that he has set up, look at what he's proposing, and let them make up their own minds. Like this hurts no one but the super rich. Maybe they'll have three yachts instead of four. Like this,
oh my god, like Bezos is fucking yacht.
Like
oh.
Do you start a GoFundMe to
the idea,
get another
the
yacht?
Idea that we could cut child the idea that we could cut child poverty in half, and that there are people who are against that. Child poverty, kids, babies. I can't even wrap my head around how more
I don't
people
even like kids this. And I'm for it, so there you go.
Well, we are better off as a country when we're more educated and more successful and less poor. We're just better off overall. Everyone prospers the more education and the more funds and the more avenues that we have. Everyone. You want to see gang violence go down? You want to see drug dealing go down? You want to see all those things go down? Give people an option besides the streets, mm-hmm. and you're going to see an improvement in that. So the American Families Act, I don't know why people aren't screaming about this from the rooftops. Literally, because Democrats are terrible at marketing themselves. Mm-hmm. This is such a good proposition, and it's such a good act, and it's not perfect, and there are still things that I wish that he would focus more on. But you know what? It's fucking better than what we have now. It's fucking better. Mm-hmm. And if we're going to spend $1 trillion on war, we can sure as shit spend it on families.
True.
So that's my diatribe of the American Families Act. Cause it really irks me. I can't even tell you, my heart hurts thinking about kids that were just born in the wrong neighborhood. Yeah. Lincoln was born here by luck.
Right.
We could have had a totally different child and he could have been somewhere else. And when I think about him being born to other parents that wouldn't be able to give him the things that we give him because of our privilege, I can't even, it breaks my fucking heart. It breaks my heart. I can't imagine it. I just can't. And I don't think any parent should be able to imagine it.
No, you shouldn't have to.
What are you guys watching?
Man, that was deep, Jackie.
Call your senators.
That was.
Seriously, call your fucking senators if you live in a red state or you have one red.
I'll call them. Sure, I'll call them. They're both mini Trumpers.
Somebody else can call.
I mean, I'll call, but it's not going to do anything.
Okay, like even if you don't call your senators, if you start talking to the Republicans in your life about this bill,
I can
and
do
how
that.
Important it is. Maybe, and it doesn't have to be a Democrat Republican thing. You can tell them, I would vote for this if a Republican came up for it. I would want this passed. I don't care about what team jersey is on. I want families to be taken care of. If you want to say America first, then fucking put America first. Mm-hmm. Who cares who came up with it? I don't care.
Yep.
Agreed.
So if you don't want to approach your senators, approach people that pressure your senators or vote for them.
I can approach them. I'm just saying. All I'm saying.
I don't know. You live in DeSantis country.
Yeah.
What are you guys watching this week?
Oh my God. Oh, Handmaid's Tale. But I'm not going to say anything about it because I know you're not caught up, Jackie. But
Jackie. That's so good. Did you watch the last one?
Yeah. Yes.
I'm caught up and I watched the first episode of the new season and I haven't been able to get. I can't watch it with Lincoln awake.
Wait.
Right. It's a whole thing.
Okay. So let's talk about season three then.
Okay.
Did you like it?
Yeah.
Oh, it was so good. Mm-hmm. Season three. So I got Katie into it. All right.
Yeah.
Katie was like, finally, like, all right, I really want to watch A Handmaid's Tale. Will you watch it with me? I was like, yes. So I am currently just into season two. I'm like 5 episodes into season two. I fucking forgot how good this show is. Like every episode is. I'm all caught up now.
Again. Okay.
I started again, but that. I watched season 4, episode 5, literally before tonight, because
I can't wait for Jackie to get caught up. Cause like last episode there, like the end of it,
it's not going to happen until
I know
Lincoln and Lex go.
I know, but
I was bawling.
Yes.
But this show, it's so fucking good. I don't want to go yet. I'm not going yet.
Okay.
All right, so I got a new one. Okay. So I'm all caught up on Younger and it's the final season and I'm sad about that. And also The Bold Type, it starts in like a week for its final season. 6 episodes.
Final season?
Yeah. And it's only 6 episodes and I'm happy about that. I know. I'm like, all these shows I love and they're ending. Okay. But new show alert. And Emily had to subscribe to Peacock to get this.
Girls 5 Ever.
I want to watch it so bad. I watched the first one because it's like free, but now I'm gonna have to get a subscription too. It is so good. So it's written by Tina Fey. It's got Sarah Bareilles, Paula Pell, who I like freaking love so much. Renee Elise Goldsberry from Hamilton. And Bussy Phillips is in it. And then it's got two people who I absolutely love, who probably nobody else knows. But Erica Henningsen and Ashley Park, who are both like, they were in Mean Girls on Broadway. And it's they were a girl group like in the early 2000s. And then now they're all like older or whatever. And a hip hop artist samples their song. And so now they're kind of like back in like and trying to put together like a reunion. And it's it's Tina Fey and it's so good and it's silly and I love Sarah Bareilles and it's just, if you're right. looking for just like a feel okay. good, that's great. Another one, highly 10 out of 10 recommend, The Wedding Coach on Netflix. It is like a wedding help us kind of show, except there's straight couples, there's gay couples. The girl who hosts it is a comedian and she wrote a book about like getting married and planning wedding or whatever. And there's no like censoring because it's Netflix. So it's often like, oh fuck. Or like, this is a real shit show over here. And like, they bring in a different person to like help out. Fortune Feimster does an episode.
Oh.
It's if you're looking for just like an easy casual watch to have on in the background, it's like all of the things you want to say about weddings and wedding shows. The Wedding Coach.
Okay.
Yeah. It's just, it's very, very funny. It has the chick, her name is Jamie Lee.
Curtis?
No, not Jamie Lee Curtis. She was on, oh my gosh, what was that show? Crashing. If you've ever watched Crashing, she was on that show. But she is so, so funny. This Wedding Coach show is just, yeah, when you're watching it and you're like, oh, what a clusterfuck. That's literally like what she says and it's unedited, which I really like. extra points for the swearing.
You know, that's really, honestly, really awesome. Cause what some of the shows that come up and you're like, why are they keep beeping it out? Like just why? Fucking cuss. I'm paying for this. I have to pay for unedited cause I'll pay for it. So I've been rewatching The Handmaid's Tale. Super, obviously it's so fucking good. I cannot get over how good it is.
Have you read the sequel yet?
No, I have not.
Read the sequel.
All right. I will. I promise. I promise you I will read it. I swear. I it's on my phone. Like I downloaded the Kindle version of it. I just need to read it. Maybe I'll read it on the way to San Francisco. So also I have something very embarrassing to admit.
Yes, please.
So as some of you may know, Katie and Matt have been living with us. Thanks. And Matt is an anime fan. So
oh, this is like when I was reading the Star Trek fiction.
I know, it's bad.
Do I need to cut you off?
Maybe. So I started watching Demon Slayer. It's on Netflix. It's an anime show. It's so good. It's about this kid whose kid sister gets turned into a demon and then he has to like find out how to turn her out, like turn her back human, and he becomes a demon slayer. I'm sorry. I don't know how to speak right now. I know. So anyway, so like it's super good and I really like it. And there's actually a movie out right now too. So I'm trying to get through the season so maybe I can get to the theater and watch the movie. That's so fucking dumb.
In the theater to watch an anime movie.
Oh my God, I know. Shoot me in the face right now. I can't even believe I'm saying this.
Dick Cheney. Dick Cheney.
Pull a Dick Cheney on me right now. So the other thing that I have that I watched that I just thought was just fucking hysterical is Barb and Star Go to Vista Del Mar.
Oh my God. Yes.
So good.
It's so bad. Fucking
funny. It's so bad. It's good. Mm-hmm. It's literally, I want to go as Barb and Star for Halloween.
Yes.
With cool lots on.
So the two things I've watched recently are we watched The Circle,
Mickey Mouse Clubhouse, and
yes. No, we're on to Dino Trucks now. Thank you.
Oh.
Yeah.
God.
But
what is a Dino Truck?
Listen.
Exactly what it sounds like. I'm gonna Google it. Don't worry.
100% what it sounds like. So we started watching. Well, we watched the last season of The Circle. And then we just watched the second season. For those that aren't familiar, it's essentially like a group of people. I'm not a big fan of reality TV, like full disclosure.
Only it's Big Brother.
I do love Big Brother because it's more like a chess game than anything else. But The Circle is essentially like 12 people that are stuck in a hotel together, but they never see each other. And the only communication they have is on like these group chats and their social media accounts. But they make their own social media accounts for it. So you don't know if the person you're talking to is a catfish or who they say they are. And like this season, there were some characters that were so good that I was a big fan. I couldn't wait to like get through the whole thing. Who I wanted to, the people who ended up in like the finalist, with the exception of one, I would have been equally happy if any of them had won. So that was like a fun thing. But the person who ended up winning was exactly who, like, I almost cried. I was so happy for that person. Like, aww. Legitimately, they deserved it. And it was really good. So if you haven't watched The Circle, it's super entertaining. It's on Netflix. No commercials. So the whole season's out. It's very, very good. And it's interesting to watch the like mind games people play with themselves. They present themselves one way on social media and then how they actually like talk to the camera about what they're actually thinking. It's just like a peek behind the curtain of how people really feel that you interact with online. And then we also watch, so we put on TV, people who have toddlers know that you can just like sit down and kind of zone out and watch, but we Hoarders. And oh, my wife's a big fan because she's a therapist and because like the intricacies in people's personalities that lead them up to the point where they start hoarding is interesting to her. To me, it's nothing but a full fucking anxiety ride because I clutter.
The worst.
I can't handle it. And you watch these people's spouses who have to live in this, because it gets to the point where you can't control it, right? Like it's so beyond
too much. There's, you can't do it.
Right. You don't know where to start. And especially a lot of the individuals are older. So even like the husband that may want to clean up from his wife's hoarding habits, he's like 90 years old. He can't physically do it. And it's gotten to the point where it's such an interesting peek into like the human psyche and kind of, how trauma affects people differently and how they build these walls around themselves to protect themselves from kind of this situation that's never going to come to fruition. Like, but their brain has tricked them into thinking you have to do these things because you're supplementing something else that's missing in your life. And it's just I don't suffer from like attachment to things. Part of it's being the military. Just get rid of shit. If you can't carry an issue bag, you don't fucking need it. Like I drove Lex crazy when we moved out of Pennsylvania. I had like three boxes in the garage that I hadn't unpacked and I just threw them away when I moved. And she was like, you don't know what's in them. And I was like, oh, I haven't looked at them for 3 years. So it doesn't fucking matter what's in them. Like I don't need them. And
that gives me so much stress.
But you can see like the, the line of, there's two types.
I could see why you would think that, right?
Yeah. And she's like, you don't even want to look. And I'm like, no, I don't need to know. Cause what if I want to keep it? And I don't want to keep it. Like I haven't looked at it in 3 years. I don't need it. But there's two different kinds of people in the world, right?
Right. Right.
Those of us that like, I don't have any high school yearbooks. I don't have any of that stuff. Like it doesn't matter to me. I have very few things that I've held on to. I have like my grandmother's wedding rings, a watch that she had. I have a few like sentimental objects. Besides that, it's just stuff. I don't care. I don't collect. I don't keep. I don't. And it's not because I don't care about you or don't love you. I'm just not wired that way.
You don't need the stuff.
I don't need the stuff. My wife, on the other hand,
she needs stuff.
She needs the stuff. She kept Christmas cards when we were going through our stuff, and I was like,
oh, I have so many birthdays.
I was like,
cards.
I'm sorry. This Christmas card was from when you were 16. Can we let it go now? Like, does it matter? And I get, she was like she keeps Christmas cards until now. She does until the next year. Cause she's like, well, you don't know, like your grandma died this year. We're going to keep the last Christmas card. She said this, like, and I get that, but you were 16. You don't need that shit anymore. Like, you don't know, like, it's a really interesting, like, mental exercise into how people cope with trauma and how everybody else enables them. And when you get to the point where you're out of your depth, and I thought it was just such a good mirror for, yes, this presents itself as messiness and filth and like discomfort for everybody else involved, but it's also a good mirror reflection of depression and anxiety and like all of these things, because you yourself let your own like emotions and mental health get to the point where they're cluttered and overwhelmed and you don't know where to start. So I just think it's an interesting like take on the whole thing. If you, and it's an easy watch. Like it's easy to sit there and be like, holy shit, these people's houses. Like this one episode we watched, people had to crawl through their living rooms to get to the sliver they had pulled out to get into their kitchen that had food in there that was like 5 years old.
No thanks.
That stresses me
out. I can't watch that. That's easy for you? That would fucking, my full-blown anxiety attack just thinking about it. I can't do it.
But it's just, it's anxiety and depression manifesting itself in different ways. Like some people.
Agreed.
Yeah.
I can't watch it. It makes me so uncomfortable.
Oh, it makes me super uncomfortable. But I like to sit with being uncomfortable sometimes. And
no thanks.
But I do. So okay, so here's the thing. I don't suffer from anxiety and stuff the way you guys do. So to me, it's a glimpse into, oh God, this is what they feel every day. Like, aww, and so it gives a visual representation of like the clutter of like the emotions that they feel that feels heavy on them that they don't know how to get rid of. It's a good visual representation for me to understand what people feel like when they get in those situations.
Right. Cause it makes you feel stressed and anxious and.
Right. Yeah. Just watching it. Yeah. So yeah. The other thing I'm obsessed with, Erin's coming to visit. I'm going to say that every week until she comes to visit.
I know.
We're keeping
very
her
excited.
Yep. Sorry, Florida.
Yeah.
You know what? Hasta la vista, baby. I'm fucking done with this state.
I don't blame you.
We're keeping you.
Yep.
And we're having a special episode where we're going to do a Q&A for Swift Vengeance on May 23rd. Yep. We are going to have, the Stacys will be here, the Stacy. Erin, Jean, myself, and then Rachel from Les Review will be on to... we're going to do a Q&A and we'll drink. Oh, I mean, I'll drink. I don't know what everyone else is doing. And
I think I'll probably drink.
We're going to do some keywords and we're going to give away some books at the end. If you can match up some of the questions that I pose, we'll give some books away too. So super excited about Swift Vengeance.
Very excited about Swift Vengeance too.
It's serial killers, psychic visions, lesbians. It's like all you need to know, right? Like that's like our target audience. Yeah.
Right.
So that's it for us, I guess.
I'm excited.
Have a great weekend, everyone. Don't forget about the American Families Act.
Yes.
Talk to people who can make a difference. We need to get this passed. Give kids a fighting shot. Anyone have anything to add? Handmaid's Tale, watch it. We're gonna start.
Was phenomenal.
Watch Demon Slayer.
No, no one's gonna. Don't do that.
No,
don't do that. Nobody do that.
Fun. Yeah, do it.
You know, a bunch of nerds listening.
Oh, real quick.
Anyone
have any theories about when Taylor Swift's new album is dropping? I
think they're all coming out on June 3rd.
Oh my god.
Stacy thinks they're all coming out on June 3rd. All of the vaults, right?
Big drop. All the vaults. Yeah, all the vaults. That's
all the vaults.
What do you think, Erin?
I don't know what to think. I'm like anxious about it, to be honest. Like I don't know.
Shocking.
I think 1989 is coming out.
Okay.
With the vaults.
Right.
I'm down for any of it, to be
honest.
What
do you think, Erin? Make a choice.
Oh my fucking God. I'm going to say.
Do you think Speak Now, which would be the next in the sequence?
No, because that's just not her style. Like, look how she's dressing. Like, look how, like, she fucking call back city. I
know.
The Polaroids. The Polaroids got
the
me.
Polaroids.
No, the Polaroids are why I'm thinking it's, and then it's the, 1989,
and then the, but. The sepia filter. Like, yeah. I'm like, what do I do? I'm going to say, I think I might agree with you, Jackie, and say 1989 with the vault.
It makes me, okay, I'm going to have to find this
it
shirt.
Won't be sorry, though, if it's all of them. Like
no, but okay, if it is, or maybe if it isn't, I'm buying myself this shirt that I used to have and I got rid of because it had a big hole in it. But it was the 1989 cover, except it was Princess Leia.
Oh my god, my best friend Leia.
Yeah. Oh man.
Yes.
Man, I need.
Why'd you get rid of that?
It had a big hole in it.
The only other theory that I have is there's a line of thought that thinks there's an album between 1989. And Reputation that was never released.
Mm-hmm.
And that was supposed to be TS6.
Mm-hmm.
Can you explain why people think that?
Taylor, every new album comes with like a different style, a different look. She recreates herself. And she explained that on Miss Americana, saying how bored the public gets with females. And like, they have a shelf life of pretty much 35 years and you need to get it all in before then, or you're, what she call it, an elephant graveyard, whatever. Yeah. And she had changed her look so much from 1989. And then there was like this brief period of what they call it, Bleachella. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So where she went real goth, and then Reputation had a totally different look than just like the goth bleached hair, short haircut, like kind of look. So people are thinking there was supposed to be an album between 1989 and Reputation that was never released. That's considered the vault, or songs from the vault.
Right.
It would make sense because of that picture she was in with Maisie Williams.
Well, and she had said that the comment that she had made on an Instagram about the first six albums, when the first five are what she's under contract with Big Machine Records. Mm-hmm. And that's what she's contractually obligated to. And she has to wait 5 years after the release date to re-record any of her music. So if she's referring to anything else, it would have had to be a Gap record that none of us heard of. So that's the other theory. There's something between 1989 and Reputation, which I assume is probably a combination of the two sounds.
Right.
I would probably piss my pants with glee. I would be so excited because 1989 is like one of my very favorite albums. And then Reputation, I've grown to love since I've become a Swiftie. So I'm like, I would be very okay with it.
I think a lot of people discount Reputation, but if you were to listen to it, if she were to play it acoustically, it would have a whole different vibe to it than
That's what I want. I want an acoustic Taylor Swift album with all of my favorites. Like, I request them, she plays them acoustically. That's what I want. That's what I'm
hoping
for.
And the secret album that was missing between the two that a lot of Swifties buy into would be a huge fuck you to Scooter Braun, because it wasn't released by Big Machine.
Because of him.
Yeah. So it would be a huge fuck you to him. So I don't know. I would be perfectly happy with all the vaults being released. I'd be happy with the secret album that was should have gone. I'd also be happy if she re-released Speak Now with vault songs. Like, I listen, I'm here for whatever Taylor
we'll
wants.
Take whatever.
Yeah.
Right? Like, listen, if she puts out a rap album, I'll probably listen to it.
But we are all pretty set that something's coming out 6/3.
Yes.
Yes.
Because of all the emojis. She's like she's a mind terrorist, man.
She is. It's like,
what
it's
was
like
that TikTok we were looking treasure. At? It's like liberal QAnon. The Jewish.
Yep.
Yes.
Except this doesn't hurt anyone.
No. Right. It only makes you feel better.
Yeah. Feels so good.
Hurts so good.
We'll see what happens. We'll see. But Aaron will be here at that time. So maybe we'll really see.
Oh my God. No, I'll be there the next day.
Yeah. Let me tell you something. I promise you this, Aaron, I'm going to do it publicly. If she releases an album at midnight that night, I will wait for you to get here to listen to it.
Yeah, I could make that commitment also.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
Because we love you.
Literally, that is like the biggest I love you I've ever received.
Yeah, I will wait.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You guys, you heard it here first, folks.
I will. I'll wait.
Yeah. Any album.
I mean a brand new one. If she's actually going to, if she announces
if it's
on
Speak Now, you can listen to it.
But if it's new, I will wait for you to get here.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I will fucking, oh my God.
We just cuddle puddle on the couch.
Oh my God.
Bottle of champagne. Yeah.
We'll put a microphone up.
We're drinking champagne if it's a new thing.
Yeah. I'll do some champagne.
That's it for us this week, guys. Have a great weekend.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.